আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহ। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহ ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহ। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহ ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহ। ওয়া নাশহাদু আন লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহ। ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening at the madrasa and those of our receivers, over the past 3 or 4 weeks we have been discussing this whole issue of qabz and bast. Every salik, every person who is treading this path, every person who wants to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, every person who wants to bring into his heart the muhabbat of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who wants to bring the reformation and change in his life, then he will experience these two different states, the state of qabz and bast. Sometimes there's enjoyment, this great happiness in making those ibadat, in doing those actions, doing those deeds. Sometimes a person gets caught up in some sins, some vices, some evils, and then all that kayfiyat and all that happiness and enjoyment is all gone. And if that person does not make sincere tawbah, he does not repent, does not return to Allah Ta'ala, does not make firar ilallah, fafirru ilallah. So then what happens is he keeps on sliding until sometimes even his iman is gone. And if the person makes sincere tawbah, then once again those kayfiyat return to his heart. The enjoyment comes back. And sometimes for the very pious and very righteous ones, it is a test of their patience and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to protect them from some ujub and vanity and show and pride. They lose that kayfiyat for a little while, and then they get it back again. And sometimes it is a means of their further elevation for the very pious and righteous ones, who there is no fear of ujub and pride, but Allah Ta'ala uses it to give them further elevation. I want to bring to a conclusion this topic in tonight's talk, if Allah Ta'ala wills. So we are discussing something about boosters, if I'm not mistaken, that why is a car boosted? When the battery is flat, then you bring some other car whose battery is fully charged and you boost the battery of this car. But what must the person do whose battery or whose car battery is flat? When he is given a boost, then he must accelerate, he must take off, he must not remain seated there and idle and pass his time, because the battery will go flat again. He must rev the engine, he must press the accelerator, he must do something and take off. The same with all these boosters that send the spaceships into space. It is boosted so that after some time they can carry on at their own pace and at their own speed and on their own steam. So that is why boost is given. So all these majalis, all these programs, all the different programs of deen, whether it is waaz or nasihat, whether it is tabligh, dawat, whether it is madaris, masajid, khanqas, wherever deen work is undertaken, they are all those boosters to boost the person. But provided the battery of that person who is going to give the boost is also fully charged. But if that person has got a flat battery himself, then what is he going to charge? If a person brings his car and he says that my car battery went flat, so I want a charge, I want a boost. Now the person who is asking to boost the battery. His own car battery is flat. So will it ever get boosted? Now, unfortunately, that is our situation, that at present many, many people are trying to charge the batteries of others, but their own batteries are flat. And therefore nothing is happening. Wherever the person is, he remains there. And both remain there sometimes. So there has to be that charge in the battery of the person if he wants to charge somebody else's battery. Now if that person hasn't got taqwa in his life, he hasn't got the noor of iman and yaqeen in his life, if his own gaze is on the wealth and property and the assets and the gold and the silver of others, he himself virtually begs the people even when he is doing some collection, donation, no, you must give me so much. If you are not going to give money, how is my institution going to run? So then will that person's bayan have any kind of effect on the audience? Because they will say, where is your tawakkul and yaqeen? If you have a project, announce it. This is my project. For the sake of Allah's pleasure, if anybody wants to contribute, then you're most welcome to transfer your currency to the hereafter. And if you don't wish to, then there is no pressure and force upon you. Just the other day, one alim doing collection somewhere in town, he telephones me and says, please phone so and so. We are standing outside. He's not even allowing us to come inside and he's giving us such a bad treatment. Now, of course, we should not give them such kind of treatment because we don't know, amongst them may be some very pious people. Give them whatever you wish to give and send them. So I told him, I said, if that person is making you zaleel, then why stand there? Why wait there? Is he Razzaq? Is he Allah? For the sake of deen, you say you are doing this collection and you want to run an institution. So then for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you are doing it, then as a means you announce that this is the project. Finish. After that, whoever Allah Ta'ala will put into his heart to donate, he will donate. But to stand on his head and to force him to contribute, sometimes it's one little business and the whole day there are so many collectors there that the boss and the manager has to hide somewhere in some dark office and then send somebody and say he's out. So if our batteries are not charged, we will not be able to charge anybody's battery. If we are not controlling our gazes from haram, how are we going to be able to tell others, please control your gazes from haram? And if we're going to say it also, it's not going to have much effect. If we do not have that iman, that yaqeen, that tawakkul, that qanaat in our hearts, that contentment and satisfaction that whatever risk comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in 100% halal way, then I will be satisfied with that. I will not go on to all those haram avenues. If I've got plentiful of money, now I'm not going to lend it out on interest. I'm not going to go and earn through the casinos or any kind of haram. Now if the person has got qanaat in his heart, the person has got tawakkul, he's got shukr in his life, so then his battery, if it is fully charged, then at least there will be some boost in the batteries of others too. Otherwise there will be nothing happening. So if the accelerator is faulty, then repair it. If the accelerator is faulty, the person is trying to give a boost, but the accelerator is faulty. So then it shows that that person's battery is charged, but now the person who's got a faulty accelerator, then he must repair that. If there is any other fault in the engine, then repair that fault. The battery may be boosted, but this does not mean that the whole engine is in working order. The engine could still be faulty. If the battery is boosted but the engine is faulty, the car will still get stuck. It will not be able to serve its purpose. If the battery is boosted but the car is still not moving, then this indicates that there is some fault somewhere, or that perhaps some dirt is clogging it. It may be that the fuel system is clogged and needs a clean-up, whatever it is. So now in the spiritual journey also, that is what is going to happen. Sometimes the person who is giving the waaz, who is giving the nasihat, The person is very, very sincere. He's got his heart filled with the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with deep hearted pain, he is trying to boost our batteries. But our engines are faulty and we're not prepared to remedy the fault. We just want to remain there. So then we don't blame the person who is making the waaz and nasihat. It means that we don't want to change. خود تو بدلتے نہیں قرآن کو بدل دیتے ہیں. We don't want to change ourselves, but we'll change the Quran Sharif. We don't want to bring about that change because it is difficult on the nafs. If you tell the person, read this wazifa so many times, Allah will give a lot of barakat in your business, the person will read it. Read this wazifa so many thousand times and you will get a very pretty wife, then the person will double that wazifa, so that he can get double beauty. So that is easy. Person is told, go for Umrah and Hajj. Yes. So why should I not go? So much of sawab, Umrah and Hajj. Bring the ticket, bring the money, I'll leave right now. Now you tell him there's 50 degrees heat there, he said, no problem. Even if it's 55 degrees heat, but I will go. Why? Because there is an enjoyment. But when the nafs, when the person is told, suppress your nafs, first prove, 6 months stay here and prove that you're controlling your nafs. That when you are there in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, then you will not cast lustful glances at all those women that are coming from Indonesia and Malaysia and other parts of the world. That you will control your gaze even though you may be a bachelor. So prove it here first, then they'll say, no, that's very difficult. So the nafs, its mizaj is sins. The nafs enjoys sins. You can have 101 items halal and only one item haram, but the nafs will be pulling towards that haram. A person can have 4 wives, all very pretty women. Still the nafs will say, that's not enough. Look at the 5th one also, and look at the 105th one also. That is the mizaj of the nafs. And this is what we don't want to remedy. It's easy to say we're doing this work and that work and we're making so much tahajjud and ibadat and zikr and tilawat, all alhamdulillah, we get sawab. But Allah Ta'ala's qurb and Allah Ta'ala's closeness and Allah Ta'ala's marifat and Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat cannot come unless we give up our haram. Now we say this is the same old record playing again, give up haram. But we'll have to keep on playing it until we give up our haram. In the cars manufactured now, so the seat belt, if you don't put it on, it keeps on making choo 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 until you put the seat belt on. It won't stop. It carries on and on and on. Then you take the seat belt and plug it on, say, I'm sick and tired of your thing, let me put it on. Once you put it on, it keeps quiet, finish. So like that, these nasihats will go on and on and on until we fasten our seat belt from haram. Because when you're going to fasten the seat belt, now there will be security, there will be protection from accidents. Or in accident, the person will be some kind of security. So therefore, in the spiritual journey, this is something that the person will face. So if there is a fault in our car engine, then we must repair that. If it is our pride, it's our arrogance, it's our malice, it's our greed, it's our lust and passions, then these are the things that are clogging all the different pipes. So we have to remove them. Then see how it takes off. So the mashayikh, they give us a boost, and we cannot carry on if our engines are faulty. Sometimes the person's engine is not faulty and he takes off, or the spaceship takes off. Now if the person is up and is enjoying a beautiful view, as we say, bird's eye view, now the person is having a beautiful view from the top, he says, see, what a beautiful view of the world. So I don't want to go down now, I just want to stay here on a high and I want to keep on observing. So what's going to happen to his wife and children? If he's got wife, he's got children, he's got business, he's got other things. Now he says, no, I'm getting a very nice view from here, so therefore I don't wish to go down. In the same way, in the spiritual world also, sometimes it's a kayfiyat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the person that he's making zikrullah, and he gets a kind of sweet smell, and the person gets a kind of noor that he senses around him, or the person gets some other kind of kayfiyat and ecstasy and joy, and now he's gone on a high. Now he wants to remain there. But we are living in a world of means. If he's going to remain there, then what's going to happen to his wife and children? He has to come down. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who could have gone higher than him? Sometimes after his tahajjud, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came to greet him, said, who are you? Said, I'm Aisha. Which Aisha? Daughter of Abu Bakr. Which Abu Bakr, son of Quhafa? When she saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she got a shock. Then after some time, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there is a time for me, between me and my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that not even the closest angel can come in between. In other words, he was on such a high, that is why he used to tell early before Fajr time, he used to tell Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that talk to me. Now what was this talk at that part of the morning? It was to come back, because he had to go to the masjid, he had to talk to the people, he had to take them up from the ground. So that is why they come down. It's not that they enjoy coming down. They would like to remain there. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to take the khidmat of the khalq, service to mankind, he brings them back onto the ground. If they don't come down, how are they going to take people out? Like I always say, that simple example for that is at the airport. At the airport, they keep on making announcement. Now they got sick and tired, they stop making announcement also. If you don't go to the check-in gate, then you stay behind. But before, they used to keep on making announcement. Passengers so-and-so, delaying the flight. Now those passengers, somebody is smoking somewhere, somebody is sitting in a toilet, somebody is having picnic outside, somebody is waiting for his friends. Now they keep on announcing, please, please, get to the boarding gate, the flight is going to take off. Now if they don't get to the boarding gate, the flight takes off. So now they keep on announcing for our benefit. So like that, these Ahlullah, these people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given piety, taqwa, knowledge, ilm, mashayikh, ulamaiha. Now this is what they all the time they're saying, get ready, board the flight, otherwise it's going to take off, death will come and you'll get left behind. Death will come and take you away. You won't have opportunity after that to make amal, so do it now. Now we keep on delaying until death comes and the person is gone. And then it's too late. So even if the person is enjoying a beautiful view from high above, he will have to return to earth, because this is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he lives with his parents, his wife, his children, and that he earns halal livelihood, fulfills the rights of neighbors, family, friends, poor, needy. Now that is our life. We have to live in this world, and these are our responsibilities, obligations and duties. In fact, doing these amal in the framework of Sharia will again give this person that boost. But those kayfiyat, now for a while he has to come down. If the person is enjoying the kayfiyat and he returns home to his wife and his children, and when they want to talk to him, he says, no, don't talk to me, because I'm on a spiritual high at present. I won't talk now. So what's going to happen if this person remains there all the time? He doesn't want to talk to his children, doesn't want to talk to his wife. He's on a very, very high. Some people go on a very high when they have taken drugs. And as I said, that somebody said, that why do you call these high school students high school students? Because most of the high school students these days are on a high. So that's why you call them high school. They're on a very high level. So if this person does not come on the ground, so how is he going to talk to his wife, children? He must come down to their level. With children you have to talk like a child. Now, little child of 1 or 2 years of age. Now you take out a big Bukhari Sharif front of that child and you start reading Hadith Sharif. What will the child understand? Now with that child you're going to talk like a child. Come down to the level of the child. With elders you will talk like them. To the ulama you will talk at their level. To the mashayikh at their level. That is what deen is. We want to stay on one level and we want to introduce into deen that which is not deen. And then we say that is Islam. That is where our problem arises. Or for example, if a person is being owed money by clients. Now the person, when he is, this client is asked by the supplier of the goods, that where's my money? It's overdue now. He says, no, for the past 2 months I've been on a high. Spiritual high. So I couldn't really even come down to that level where I realized that I was owing people money. He said, when will you be coming down? Why? Because our banks are charging us interest now. So therefore this person, he can't remain on a high of that kind. The person has to live a normal life. Don't go on to extremes. People who start reading too much of wazifas also, they also went off the head, some of them. Uncontrolled. We get letters from different parts of the world. One person writes, whole night I make zikr. For a couple of days he made, or one couple of months he made, Allah Ta'ala knows. And after that he went off his head completely. And then what creates the doubt in their minds is that zikrullah is a good thing. Then how can it make the person go mad? Allah Ta'ala's name, how can it make a person go mad? So Allah Ta'ala's name doesn't make the person go mad. But that person did not have that kind of capacity to make so much of zikrullah all night, no sleep for days and days. So he gets dehydration of his brain cells. And that's when he goes off. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that we must do that. I always give a simple example. That from our school days or childhood days we heard, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Although I don't know whether it's true. Some people eat not one but many apples, but still they're very sick. So if it keeps the doctor away, does it mean that now you must sit and eat one time 10 kilograms? Somebody says apple got lots of vitamins, so therefore one time eat 10 kg. What's going to happen to him? So in everything there must be a'tidal, there must be a balance. That is deen. There must be a'tidal, a balance. The moment we go on to extremes, then it creates fitnas in the homes, in our lives and the lives of people. We become the cause of that fitna. Whether it is deen work or any other work, there must be a'tidal, there must be a balance. If a person is, for example, owing a lot of money, sometimes hundreds of thousands the person is owing, and sometimes thousands of rands, 50,000, 60,000. At such a time, what is his duty and an obligation? That he must work hard and pay the people what is being owed to them. Now at that time he says, no, I'm going for deen work. Or the person says, Hajj sawab, there's a lot of sawab for Nafil Hajj. And see in the kitab there, Fazail Hajj, how much virtues and fazilat has been mentioned of making Nafil Hajj. So therefore, I'm going for my Nafil Hajj. Say, but what about all this money that you're owing to everybody? Say, no, inshallah, they'll get a lot of sawab. They have to be exercise a little bit patience because I'm going for ibadat. So they must exercise a little bit of patience. Now, will that be ibadat? But the person who is free, the person is not, he does not, or he can make proper arrangement for what he is owing, and then he goes out. There's nothing wrong. We take qaraz and loan for many other things. So if the person has got a proper understanding, and he makes proper arrangement also that during his absence, there is a proper arrangement for the family. Sometimes the person has got young daughters, and he just leaves them and he's gone. And he says he's going for deen work. Now those teenage daughters, what is happening, we all know. There are many, many other reasons why the person is going for Hajj or for other dini activities, or going even to the Khanqah, to some Shaykh, may not be permissible at that particular moment in time. Although he is going to his Shaykh, it becomes the duty of that Shaykh, if he comes to know that this person has left his wife and his children without support and he has just come away here, then he must send him back. He says, pack your bag and get away tomorrow morning. Take the first flight back, or take the first plane, the train back or something, and go back. Make proper arrangement and then come. Indeed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider. Now some people say that if you die, then what? Who is going to look after your wife and children if you die? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not put the obligation onto this person that after death also from your grave you must send food and clothing and shelter. Does he put that obligation on a person's head that after you die, that from your grave you must make sure that your wife and children are still receiving their food and ration? The obligation has ended. After that will be the duty of the family members, the children, whoever Allah Ta'ala has provided sufficiently, that they must take care of this widow, must take care of this poor father or poor mother or whoever they may be. But the responsibility has ended. As far as this person is concerned, he is in the grave now, his responsibility has ended. But whilst he is living, it is his responsibility. Now to say, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, one lady writes from Germany. She says that one person gave wazde in Germany. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to receive the commandments from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or he went to bring fire for his wife who was expecting, so he went for the fire. But when he went for the fire, then he was given wahi. And he was given nubuwat. So after that he didn't go back to his wife, he just left her and he went away. And look at Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam incident, that he took his wife and his little baby and left them there in Makkah Mukarrama, total wilderness at that time. So we mustn't worry what's going to happen to wife and children. We must be out. Now is that deen? That's the extremism which has caused many people to even leave Islam. She says five ladies left Islam. Five non-Muslims who came into Islam from Christianity, then they left Islam and went away when they saw this type of extreme views. So everything, there must be i'tidal. As I said, even though it is a Shaykh, if he is the means of this person neglecting the care of his wife, his children, his parents and all that, then he is not a Shaykh Kamil. That person must not be made a Shaykh. Shaykh is that person who makes people follow Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, and where there's i'tidal, where there's a balance. Such type of people must do work locally, must go over the weekends. Weekends nobody stops you. Spend as much time in the masjid, in the evenings, in the mornings, the spare time that the person has, then engage in whatever dini activity he wishes to. But during the day the person should go and earn his livelihood and fulfill his obligations and responsibilities. If a Shaykh says, take me for a drive, I feel like going for a nice long drive, and at that time the mother or father says that go and bring me some medication from the surgery or from the chemist, I am feeling very sick and I am in great pain. So now at that time, if the person says, no, my Shaykh, there's no my Shaykh now. Now first go and give medication to your mother and father. Now if the Shaykh says, no, my rights come first, then he's a shaitan. At that time the right is of the wife, of the mother, of the father. There must be i'tidal. Now if a woman says that I'm extremely worried, I'm scared, if you're going to leave me alone in this place, it's like a jungle or it's a big massive house and you're going to leave me alone and there's no security here and all that, then I'm scared, I won't be able to sleep. So the person says, what if I die after that, how are you going to live alone? So you must live alone, I'm going. So will that be deen? So make proper arrangement. Nobody is saying don't go to the Shaykh, don't go for the Jamaat, don't do this work, that work. But make arrangement and go. And that is not only for deen work, even those people who are going for business reasons. They are traveling out to China and Japan and America and Hong Kong and everywhere else. Now they too, it is their duty that before they leave, they must make sure that proper arrangement is made. These days at night, suddenly somebody comes and bangs the door and breaks the glass, and then what happens to that poor woman? So until we are living, it's our responsibility. If we're dead and gone, then it is finished. After that, if she has to live alone, nobody cares for her, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward her for the patience she exercises. But until we are living, it is our duty. Now these are the things which we don't want to listen to. And if somebody has to mention it, no, this Maulana is against the khanqas. This Maulana is against the Jamaat. This Maulana is against this deen work and that deen work. And this Maulana is now against my taking my sample and going to China. Now can anybody be against all these things? How can we be against any deen work? But to bring i'tidal and balance, if we are not going to even listen to it, so then we must be prepared for all the fitnas that are arising in the different families and homes. Wallah, I'm in the masjid, I'm dealing with these cases, so I know. They phone and they speak to me because they feel that I will give them a balanced view. So ask me what is happening. A person leaves his young daughter, with her young brother-in-law. The sister is going to work somewhere. Now this young brother-in-law comes alone into the house, and the father is gone in the works of deen. Now this young brother-in-law keeps coming into the house whilst his wife is out, and his sister-in-law is alone in the house, and the sister-in-law is also young. What do we expect after that? So bring balance, bring i'tidal, otherwise we will think we are doing a lot of deen work and we're getting a lot of sawab, but in the meantime we are getting no sawab. Sometimes the education of the children is affected. Little children don't want to listen to the mother at all. So bring balance. Go out for a few days, come back, do work over the weekends. And if the person is now, he's got proper arrangement, he's got proper intizam that has been made, then if he goes 4 months, he goes 6 months, or he goes whole life to this, no problem. So nobody's, if somebody says that I want to read Surah Baqarah in my ruku, now somebody makes Allahu Akbar, and when he goes to the ruku, because it's a very good hafiz of the Quran Sharif, so instead of reading Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, so he reads Surah Baqarah. Now if some alim has to tell him that, bhai, please don't read Surah Baqarah in the ruku. In the ruku you must read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So how can you stop me from reading Quran Sharif? What is more greater, the tasbih of Subhana Rabbi al-Azim or Quran Sharif? I'm reading Quran Sharif. Surah Ali Imran and so many surahs I'm reading in the ruku, and you're stopping me. So will he be right in his objection? We'll say in the ruku you must read the tasbih of ruku. No matter how great the Quran Sharif is and the kalam of Allah Ta'ala is, but in ruku you must read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, because that's the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in sajda you must say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, no matter how great a hafiz you may be of the Quran Sharif. So now he's not stopping him from reading Quran Sharif. What he is stopping him from is reading Quran Sharif in the wrong place. That's what he's stopping. That in your qiyam read Quran Sharif as much as you want, in your nafil namaz. So we should participate in all the works and activities of deen, but keep a balance. Let there be i'tidal. Look at the situation on the ground, as we say. We must not be following our own desires and whims and fancies and believe that we are doing great work. Some people are just running away because they don't want to be at home. And some wives are very, very happy the longer the husband stays out of the house. Believe me, I'm telling you. Some wives, they tell us, as long as he stays out of the house, there's peace in the house. When he comes back, then there's problem. So rather let him stay out of the house as much as possible. I'm quite happy with my children. I don't even need him in the house. Now, is that married life? Won't the reconcile CD, the same thing again. I say yet again, do not become the ashik of kayfiyat. Make shukr over the kayfiyat, but consider them to be the toffees that we give to the children as incentives to continue with their work and good behavior. Children do good work, we say take a few toffees. If the child learns his sabak, then the mother or father gives him a toffee as an incentive, some chocolate, sweet toffee. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala also gives us some toffees. These are my servants. They did some namaz, some zikr, some tilawat. So as an incentive, give them some kayfiyat. Give them some enjoyment in it so that they increase their ibadah, their khushu, their khuzu. Depending on the person's performance, attendance and efforts, a person will be rewarded by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Kayfiyat too will remain according to the person's performance. There are even those institutions, organizations that present certificates and then add a book prize, and sometimes they even give a cash prize. And nowadays we even get people offering, or institutions offering, ticket for Umrah and Hajj. So incentives to make them perform better. So in a similar way, Allah Ta'ala also gives some small toffees, and to some people He gives chocolates, and to some people Allah Ta'ala takes them to levels that we can't even understand as reward, as incentive to do more. Outwardly they appear the same to us. There's no difference. They are human beings just as we are. In this gathering, does anyone look different to the others in respect of physical body? No. All of us. We have two eyes, two ears. Of course, if somebody is handicapped, is different. But generally, all human beings, they have the features of human beings. But is everybody the same inside, in his heart? Take the graves of the kuffar. Sometimes from the outside, the graves of the kuffar look so beautiful. Go to the graveyard. They look so beautiful. And look at the decoration and everything else. Especially if the person was some renowned person. But inside, what there is there? Nothing but fire. And go to the graveyard of Madina Sharif. From the outside, you look at it, you will think that all paupers and beggars were buried here. But in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they were so great. And if only a person has been given that heart, if only we had those hearts, or those eyes to see inside what they are enjoying, then each one has got his own garden. We mustn't think that how can the garden be so spacious. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He shows it to us in many, many different ways, but we don't take lessons, and there's no time now to give all those examples that are coming to mind. But in any case, we know that the grave after a person's death is either a garden from the gardens of Jannat, or it is a pit fire from the pit fires of hell. So now if it is a garden from the gardens of Jannat for an ordinary mu'min, then what kind of gardens must be for the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in that are buried there in Jannatul Baqi? What kind of garden must be for the Sayyidina Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who is buried there? And what kind of gardens must be for the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who are buried there? And what kind of gardens must be for the daughters of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who are buried there? And what kind of gardens for those mashayikh and all those pious and righteous people who are buried there? And each and every mu'min that is buried there. So from the outside doesn't look very interesting. Looks very simple. Just sand and stone. But inside it is different. So like that, in a gathering sometimes, people are sitting there. Outside we all look the same. But inside the heart, the kayfiyat, the enjoyment, the qurb of Allah Ta'ala, the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes just once the person mentions Allah, and that person's heart is somewhere else. And to us,
who do not have that kind of purified hearts. We listen to Allah a million times and we don't get that kefir. So we must continue. It doesn't mean we must lose hope. It doesn't mean that we must be ashiks of kefiyat. We must be ashik of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then inshallah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us those kefiyat too, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless us in this world and in the akhirat. Now we conclude with one last example. That some people while sitting in majalis make the zikr of Allah ta'ala with their tongues, but their hearts and minds are outside. That's what happens. That we're sitting in the masjid, we're making zikrullah, or we're listening to waaz and nasihat, but our hearts and minds are outside. Sometimes in the cars, or in the business, or sometimes even in toilets. Meaning sins. Because sins are like those toilets. Person is sitting in the masjid, but his heart is everywhere else. So now what does he expect in that heart? However, I repeat that even that zikrullah is of great benefit. Don't leave it out. When the person will go on making even that kind of zikrullah, which will then become a habit, and from habit there will come ikhlas, and inshallah after that the person will get that benefit that the pious and the righteous get. A person sometimes is very, very busy in the shop. Christmas time comes, the person is so busy, he says, got no time to eat. But as he's walking up and down with thousands of customers, as we see in Makkah Sharif during Hajj season, then he just takes a bite, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some burger and some pizza and some this, some that. Everything goes in. He doesn't even concentrate, he doesn't even know what he ate. But we all know that because of that eating and that drinking, some strength came into his body. If he didn't eat and drink, would he have been able to walk up and down the whole day? So if you had to ask him what you ate also, he doesn't know. He doesn't remember. But the fact is it went into his system, so it did something. Like that zikrullah also, even if it is taken with ghaflat, without really concentrating, in the person took the name of Allah Ta'ala, it's not going to go without effect. So let us not wait for that day to come, then we will make zikrullah when we are of that level. We must continue. But just as that person who was eating and drinking in a hurry, he is not satisfied and happy with that. He did it because he was in a hurry. But he doesn't mean now daily that is what he does. He doesn't go home and sit relaxed and eat. So like that, sometimes if the person in negligence made some zikrullah, they mustn't remain in that state. Take off, we have to take off. How long are we going to remain like the speck of dust on the ground? May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the Ummah with the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala give us all His qurb, His ma'rifat, His yaqeen, His muhabbat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Mawla, humare gunahun ko maaf farma. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai, sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. O my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Day and night we commit sins, my beloved Allah. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. Hum nadim hai, sharminda hai. We are ashamed. We are not justifying our sins, my Allah. We are extremely weak servants of yours. Bless us with the etidal in our lives. Bless us with the balance in our lives. Bless us with your marifat, with your yaqeen, with your muhabbat. Bless us with tawakkul and trust in you. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. We know we are not deserving. We are not deserving of any ni'mat and bounty of yours, my Allah. We know how much of sins we have committed with our eyes. How can we be deserving of eyes? We know how much of sins we have committed with our ears. How can we be deserving of ears? We know how much of sins we have committed with our tongues. How can we be deserving of tongues? We know how much of sins we have committed with our wealth. How can we be deserving of wealth? Our hands and feet, my beloved Allah, how much of disobedience. But, my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. You are Kareem, one who gives even to those that are not deserving. And you dearly love forgiveness, as we have been informed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want us to turn towards you, and that is exactly what we are doing, my Allah. We have raised our begging bowls before you. Our hearts are dirty, our sight is dirty, our hearing is dirty, our speech is filthy. My beloved Allah, who is there to purify us besides you? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. My beloved Allah, my beloved Allah, tujhe chhod ke hum jaye kahan? Where do we go, my Allah? Where do we go? Which other door is there that we can tap? If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness from us sinful ones, what will be our condition? We will face nothing but destruction. Ya Allah, we are therefore turning towards you. Give us the strength in our iman to resist the temptations of our nafs. Nafs o shaitan dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. My beloved Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Bless us with shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have children, make them nek, salih. If they have gone onto drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-i-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, bless us with the knowledge of deen. Bless us with amal on the knowledge of deen. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Ya Allah, hone wale ijtema ko kamyab farma. Accept, my beloved Allah, the talim, the tashkil, the gush. Ya Allah, accept all the efforts of the khanqas, the mashayikh, the masajid, the madaris, and all organizations and institutions who are working within the parameters of Sharia. Ya Allah, let us all be supplementary and complementary. Ya Allah, let there be no friction and division and opposition. Ya Allah, bless us all with the tawfiq of i'tidal and balance in our lives. Ya Allah, hum sabko nek bana de, ek bana de. Oh, my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. We have to die one day. We have to leave this world someday. Our tongues will stop wagging. Our eyes will stop seeing. Our ears will stop listening. Our hands will be able to touch those illicit beloveds no more. Our feet will be able to walk to those reef clubs and discos and cinemas no more. My beloved Allah, our clothes will be removed. Tight-fitting clothes will be sliced with the scissors and taken out. False teeth will be removed. Glasses will be removed. The jewelry on the hands of the women will be removed. Our watches will be removed. Ghusl water will be poured above our bodies. We will be moved backwards and forwards. Ya Allah. Before the water of Mayyat is poured above our bodies, let us pour the water of Tawbah above our hearts. Before the garment of Kafan is put above our bodies, let us put the garment of Taqwa above our hearts. Don't turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness from us. Remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering of the Ummah around the globe. Ya Allah, in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, India, Pakistan, Africa, Australia, America, my beloved Allah, wherever the Ummah is suffering, remove their suffering. Mere Allah, jab hamare marne ka waqt aaye, take us to Madina Tayyiba. تمنا ہے کہ گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوتا وہاں کے گلشنوں میں میرا بھی کوئی چمن ہوتا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم all his life he made duas for us bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us bless the ummah with that goodness And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqihi sayyidina, ونبينا وشفيقنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين